So glad that you're here this morning to worship with us. We've had a great weekend. It's been a good time. Friday night we had the men's wow game dinner. I got it messed up a couple times. I said wow men game dinner. I think it was a little bit of everything Friday night. We had a great time, and it was a wonderful time, and I really enjoyed everyone's help. You ladies that were not here but had fixed the food for your husbands, thank you. It was very good. And we were blessed with about 125 men or so, which was a little strenuous because we only planned for 100. So the food went really quick, and it was a great time. You know, I have a lot of good friends. Gus is one of my good friends, and one of the things that Gus and me like to do is we like to go to Pete's to eat breakfast. That's our favorite place to eat. And the second thing we like to do is we like to watch football together. And a couple of weeks ago, Gus invited me over on his big screen TV to watch the football game. And one thing about Gus that you really appreciate, you know, he's a little bit older than me, and, you know, he's, you know, probably could be about the age of my father or whatever, you know. I mean, he's a little bit older than me. But, you know, Gus, if you're not listening to Gus when he's talking to you, you know, or if there's somebody else in the room like it was that night and they were talking and people was talking, and Gus wants to make sure we listening to him, what Gus says, he says, "Now, are you listening to me, Booster?" And if I don't answer him quite right, he'll say, "Now, Booster, are you listening to me?" Well, you know, as I came to the text this morning, I was reading through here, and I'm looking, and just over the whole thing, it's like God is saying to you, "Are you listening to me? Are you listening to what I'm saying to you?" Last week we looked at, because there's three stories here in a row of listening, those who are listening to God. And last week we talked about three of the Sauls that... by the way, for you that don't understand my English, that's the ground down there you plant the seed in, so you'll grab hold. I knew some of y'all looked confused last week when I used that word. But anyway, three of the Sauls were not prepared or ready for the good seed. But last week we also looked at the good Saul that was represented a heart that was ready to hear and to obey God and to bear much fruit. So this morning we want to look at the character of a good listener of God's Word. But before we get in that, let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on His text. Father, as always, we come humbly before Your Word. Lord, it's our heart's desire to hear You speak to us this morning. Lord, we don't want to go out the same way we came in. We want to go out fresh, filled with Your Spirit, filled with Your Word, overflowing. Father, we pray for that this morning. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to be good listeners, and even more so, that we'd be good doers of the Word. Father, as we come to You this morning, our heart gravitates for the future as we think about the revival services that will be taking place come March. We pray for those in advance, Lord. We pray that You would draw people from all over this community, and literally, Lord, You'll be bringing speakers from all over the world to speak at this thing. So, Lord, we're asking You now, Lord, that You would revive our hearts as a church, as Your people. Lord, that we would go on to do great things for Your glory. Father, we pray now, as we come to this text, Lord, that if there's one person here today who doesn't know You, and Lord, they've been hearing the gospel time and time again, but today, Lord, that You would speak to them afresh and anew. Today, Lord, that You would change their hearts and save them for Your glory, Lord. That they would respond in repentance and belief. And Lord, that they would become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for those of us who are in Christ, we pray this morning, Lord, that You would stir in us such a holy love for You, Lord, that we couldn't help but listen and obey. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen. So as we come to our text this morning, we're going to look at the first character trait of a good listener of God's Word is an honest heart. Let's go back into verse 15 of chapter 8. It says, "But the seed and the good soil, these are the ones
who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. And when we use this word honest, we're using it in the Latin sense of noble, virtuous, and worthy. You know, when you think of these people who heard, as we learned from last week in the parable of the sower, the other Saul did not obey God. The other Saul did not receive God in a way that they should. It didn't take root, didn't bear fruit, but this one did. This person had a heart that was changed by God, but a heart that was willing to obey God. You know, when we think about this, so many times we have folks that we talk to just talking about the Lord, or just talking about ministry. And just recently, I was talking to a gentleman, and, you know, he's in his 60s. He said, "Brother Johnny, for years I went to church." And he said, "I'd hear the preacher preach, and I'd pay attention. But when I left, I didn't understand anything, and I didn't remember anything." And he said, "It went like that for years." He said, "And then one day," he said, "I got confronted in my sin by a brother, and the Lord saved me. And my brokenness, the Lord saved me." And he said, "You know what was interesting? The next Sunday when I went to church and I heard the preacher preach," he said, "I walked out and I remembered what he said. And I understood what he said. And I obeyed what the Word of God said." You see, that's what happens to people who have been converted by the Lord, is that they hear the Word of God. They understand the Word of God. They start to read the Word of God. And now something that didn't make any sense to them now, because their heart's been changed by God. They have an honest heart. They have a good heart. They have a worthy heart that's been saved by God's grace. Now they can understand and they obey. And it shows forth in their life, because fruit comes into their lives. You see, part of having an honest heart, part of being right with God, is that fruit is going to come. And it comes as we obey God. Recently, I was reading about a pastor, and he was talking about his first funeral. And it was really sad. He buried a 3-year-old child. And what had happened was he remembered going to visit this family, and how, you know, as he sat there, the child always did the opposite of what the parents told him to do. And the parents would tell him, you know, "Sit here, little Johnny," and he would run over there. "You know, come here, little Johnny," and he'd run away. And all these things, and they would laugh about it and say how cute little Johnny was. But the sad part about it was that this day came when this little child, somebody had accidentally left the gate open, and he walked through the gate, and they had two cars there, and there was a car coming by. And the dad and the mama yelled, "Don't go out in the street." And the child looked back, smiled, and turned right around and walked out into the street and got ran over. Friends, I want you to know something. God expects those with an honest heart to obey Him. Are you obeying God's Word today? The second character trait of a good listener of God's Word is a helpful heart. If you notice in verse 16 and 17, it says, "Now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light." You see, Jesus uses a first century understanding of a lamp. And back then, that was the light of the house, you know. And he would say, you know, you don't take a lamp and put a cover over it. Why? Because that would just suck the air out of it and suck the light out of it. You don't put it underneath a bed, because then it wouldn't do any good. It wouldn't light up anything. You see, a lamp is made for the purpose of putting up high so that it will light up a room. And when you think back to the first century and possibly even Roman homes that were there or built, that light would light up the whole walkway where people could come in and they would be safe and they could see where they were going. And they would put it up on this platform, this stand that would be high up. You know, friends, when you tie this in with verse 17, which is an exhortation to the apostles, that God says to share the light that God has given them. You know, in verse 17, it's not real clear, but in the other gospel account in Matthew, he makes it really clear, the same story. In Matthew 10:26, this is what the Lord says. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear whisper in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The New American Commentary says it this way: the disciples who know the secrets of God's kingdom are to provide that light in order that others might see it and be saved. You see, that's the heart of someone who is being helpful. They learn, they have the purpose, they want to learn, they want to obey God's word, but they want to help others. Ezra was like that. Ezra in the Old Testament, the great temple leader. You know, when you look at Ezra's life in 7:10, it said that he wanted to learn God's word, he wanted to obey God's word, and he wanted to teach God's word to God's people. Why? So that they might be saved, so that they might be right with God. And as you think through this, it ties into verse 18, which says this: so take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him. You see, the principle of much given, much is required, is connected here. You think about the apostles. They were given the keys to the kingdom. They were given the gospel. And God expected them to bring that gospel because they were saved by grace to the world. Not because of legalism, but because of loveism, because of their lives being changed. It was their responsibility to bring the gospel to all. And you know, friends, that's how it is for us. We've been saved by God's grace. It's all responsibility. That Matthew call is not to the apostles alone. It's to us to bring the gospel to the world. It's for us to bring God's love to a dead and dying world. You know, I can't help but think of the Titanic. You know, you know the story about the boats. They had boats for 2,000 people, I think it was, and they only had like 800 people got saved, or even less than that. And you say, what happened? They were in the boats. They got lowered into the water. But when it came time and the boat started to go under and people panicked, the people in the boats didn't even go and save them. The people in the boats didn't even go back and try to save the people. They let them drown. They let them freeze to death. Why? They had the good news. They could have saved people. They could have pulled them out the water and brought them in the boats, but they were scared. You see, they were safe and secure, and they didn't care about those who were perishing and dying. Friends, let me ask you something. Does that sound like us? Does that sound like us? Are we safe and secure while the world goes to hell? You know, Matt, my Sunday school teacher, was sharing about a story about this man who almost died, and he had a picture of hell. And when he came out of that, man, he just ran to Christ, and 2 days later he died. Few people are given that opportunity. Few people almost die and then have a couple of days to get right with the Lord. Most people die. Most people don't have that opportunity. And they die without Christ. There's no hope. And those of us who are in Christ, those of us who've been saved by the grace of God, it's all responsibility. We have much required of us from God. Why? Because we've been saved by the grace of God. Let me ask you something this morning. Are you acting in a way, or are we as a church acting in a way in this community that we have an urgency about those who are perishing and dying? Remember one time I was in a hospital a few years back, had a 12-year-old girl laying on the bed. She got ran over by a car as she was laying there. And her grandparents, who were probably in their 70s, were standing next to me, lost. And they said, why didn't God do this to us and not to her? We're old. I said, well, I'm not going to answer for God, but I can tell you this much. That little 12-year-old had committed her life to Christ, and her life had changed. And I know where she's going to be. If she leaves this earth, she's going to be with Jesus, and she did. Where are you going to be? You see, friends, we all going to die one day unless Jesus comes back. That's not the issue. The issue is where are we going to spend eternity? Where are our family is going to spend eternity? Where are our friends are going to spend eternity? Jesus said to the apostles, and he says to us today, don't be fearful of people rejecting you. Be bold. Share the love of Christ with them. Why? For their lives are at stake. Most of the time we don't share because we're fearful. We might get rejected or they may not like us anymore. But friends, it'll be a sad day for them when they die and stand before a holy and righteous God. Let me ask you something. Do you have a helpful heart? Do you really long to see others come to Christ? The character traits of a good listener of God's Word are one with an honest heart, one with a helpful heart, and then finally, one with an honorable heart. Look at verses 19 through 21. And his mother and his brothers came to him. They were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you. But he answered and said to him, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. You see, they have an honorable heart, those who have been changed by God's grace. And they show it by obeying God. They want to honor Jesus, those who love Jesus. And they honor him by obeying him. You know, it's interesting to me that Jesus, when he's talking about his family, he says, my family is not just the ones who are my mother and my brother. My family are all who what? Who hears God's word and obeys it. Who believes in me. Friends, it's a salvation that is changing people's lives. It's a salvation that saves you and that God produces these works in you. You see, you don't really have the right to tell somebody you're a Christian if you're not obeying God. The New American Commentary says it this way. Luke believed that we are indeed saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. You see, Jesus always tied salvation to those who would obey him. Now you say, Brother Johnny, you're teaching a works salvation. No, I'm teaching a salvation that works. Listen to me. If you think you're saved and you're not willing to obey God, then you need to get off with the Lord because you're probably not saved. See, those who are saved have a heart for God. Those who are saved have been changed by God. Those who love the Lord are going to obey Him. Not perfectly, but purposely. That's what God does with us. God, when He changes a man's heart, changes a woman's heart, they have a heart for God. And they want to obey God. And they want to love God. But you know, there's a cutting edge to grace that I have never thought about. Just recently, I was reading Tim Keller's some articles on the reason for God. I want you to listen to this story that he shares about a woman who came to understand grace. This is what she told him. She said, you know, this new message that I'm hearing is a little bit scary. And she says, well, he said to her, why is this scary of grace? She said, Because of this, if I was saved by my good works, then there would be a limit to what God could ask or put me through. I would be like a taxpayer with rights. I would have done my duty and now I deserve a certain quality of life. But if I'm a sinner saved by grace, then there's nothing he cannot ask of me. Did you catch that? See, she understood about grace and gratitude. You see, if God saves you by grace, then there's nothing he cannot ask of you that you have to obey him. But if you've been saved by works, then there's a limit to what God can ask you because it's works. You know, as I thought through that, I have to be honest with you. I hadn't thought in that light about grace, but it is cutting. You know, because when the Lord saves you, he gives you a heart to obey, but he does ask you to do great things. You see, God gets no glory from you just living a normal life. You know, if you're not of the Lord, you go through your normal life, you have problems, you deal with them as folks deal with them. But when you're a Christian, God expects much more of you because you've been given much more grace. Recently, I was talking to a brother, and, you know, he was telling me, he says, you know, Brother Johnny, with tears in his eyes, he said, Brother Johnny, he said, this Christian life is hard, and it's hard. He said, you know, he said, and there's a cost to it. Because it's not about me, it's about the Lord. You have to honor the Lord in the way you live. He went on to share this with me. He said, you know, he said, I bought this motor for a certain amount of money and it was top price. He said, then when I went to send my money, I had already sent my money. Then in the fine print way below, it said that you were supposed to pay extra $500 for the core. I don't know what that is, but it must be something important. And the guy contacted him. He said, you know, you didn't pay the extra $500 for the cord. He already paid the premium price for the motor. Now he's going to have to pay extra $500. And the thing about it is this. See, he related because of grace. He related it to his life. You see, it wasn't an option to pay the $500. He had to pay the $500. Why? Because Jesus' name was on the line. Everybody knows that he's a Christian. And there's a cost to being a Christian. You see, when we start to understand this grace in this way, there are things in our lives we're going to have to deal with. And we're going to have to obey the Lord. And it's not really easy. It's hard. You know, we could sit around and get a cup of coffee and we can talk about this for hours and hours, literally. I'm not just saying that. Open the Bible and just talk about life situation, how we have to act. How we have to act because we're Christians. But I just want to mention just a few. The first one is forgiveness. Listen, if you're not a Christian, forgiveness is not in your vocabulary, really. You see, if you're a Christian, you have to forgive because you've been forgiven. And just by the sheer nature of forgiveness, you have to understand you've got to get hurt in order to be able to forgive somebody. See, it's not fun being hurt. It's part of life. It's part of suffering. People are going to sin against you. People are going to say things about you. People are going to do things to you. People are going to hurt you. Yes, this is true, but God says we have to forgive them. Why? Because we have been forgiven of all our sins. So understanding that, it's not a mark of whether or not we want to. We have to. We have to forgive. We have to forgive those who have hurt us. We have to forgive our parents when they've sinned against us. We have to forgive our children when they sin against us. We have to forgive our spouses. We have to forgive the other church members when they say stuff. Friends, listen, that's why it's so important to obey than it is to sacrifice. Let me give you just one example real quick on that. You know, it's a lot better to keep your mouth shut than it is to say something ugly. You know why? Because you got to go back and ask for forgiveness, but you already cut a hole in the person. And you may think you're funny, but let me tell you something. It's not funny when you're on the other end of it. It's not funny when people are slicing you and dicing you. And we need to be careful of our words, yet God says to us, it's more better to be obedient than it is to sacrifice. It's more better to control our tongue than it is to slice up a brother or sister in Christ. But even in that, we have to forgive and we have to love, because God said that we must. Second, as we're thinking about the things we have to do because of grace and gratitude, faithfulness. Listen, none of us is absolute 100% faithful in everything. So when I'm talking about these things, I'm not talking about you, I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about all of us. We all got to be faithful. But the reality is, because of what God has done for us, we got to be faithful. And we got to encourage each other to be faithful. We got to be faithful in the things of God. We have to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the things He has called us to be committed. And I could talk about a whole bunch of things on that, but I'm just going to nail one. I'm going to talk to you dads. Listen, at the Touche House, long before I was a preacher, Miss Carrie will tell you, on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, we're going to be at church. Now, that don't mean everybody's got to be like Brother Johnny, but this is what I'm telling you. My kids didn't run me. I ran my kids. Listen, I played sports. My kids played sports. But at the end of the day, guess what? They're going to be in church. Now, that don't mean that, you know, if they're in a season and they're going to miss a few church days, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is when the kids are not at church when they can be. When the kids are not here because daddy is being a lazy dog. You know what I'm talking about, too. Listen, it's your responsibility to have your kids here. It's your job. You know what? My kids don't like to come to church sometimes. Can you believe that? The pastor's kids. Like my Jonathan will tell me from time to time, he said, Daddy, I want to stay home and play video games. Yeah? Guess what? Get in the car, you're going to church. Now before Jonathan, my other ones would say, you know, nobody likes to go to church all the time, but guess what? We're the body of Christ, and I'm daddy. And they're going to do what daddy says to do. So if your kids later on down the road, they don't love church, and they don't love people, and they don't love God's people, you know where you need to start at? Yourself. Because if you're not doing your job, dad, and bringing them, they're not going to be here later on. It's your job. It's your job to be faithful. It's your job to love your wife. Let me tell you something. I love my wife. I have always loved my wife, but I love her a lot more now than I did then. And the truth of the matter is, if you're loving your wife, if you're bringing your kids to church and you're loving your kids, 9 out of 10 times, they're going to turn out pretty decent. They're not going to be perfect, but they're going to turn out decent. Why? Because daddy loved them. Mama loved them. They went to church. You say, Brother Johnny, you know, it's a lot more than that. You're right, it is. You got to live a Christian life all the time. Don't be talking bad about the preacher at your house and then come to church and shake my hand and give me a hug. Because you know what your kids call that, huh? Hypocrite. Don't do that. Shut your mouth at home. Don't talk bad about me. Keep that in the bedroom with your wife. Amen. Don't let nobody else hear about it. Listen. Be faithful. That's what God has called you to do as men. Quit making excuses, make a commitment to the Lord, and be faithful. And then keep your promises to the Lord. Ask Him to help you. So we think about that, you know, just in those few little things, forgiveness. You think about faithfulness, and then you think about freedom. You say, Brother John, what are you talking about? Let me tell you something. I'm more free now than I've ever been in my life. See, the closer you get to the Lord, the more you have freedom. You see, obedience brings freedom. When you obey, the word of the Lord. Like, I'll just be honest with you. We're just going to be honest. We're here this morning. I don't like wearing my seatbelt. Now, I used to really not like it when I was at 290, but now that I'm at 220, it's a little bearable. But at 290, I hated it with a passion. But you know what? I woke up one day because my kids kept nagging me. You got to put on your seatbelt, Daddy. You're not wearing your seatbelt. So I put on my seatbelt grudgingly. Duty. Got to set a good example. But you know what happened? All of a sudden, as I'm reading through the Word, I come to realize my obedience is going to bring me joy. So now what I do is when I get in and I hear a little beep go off because I forgot to put on a seatbelt, I just lean over and put it on. And I put it on with joy. And I put it on with happiness. You know why? Because right when I pass the policeman, I'm not panicking to know if I got my seatbelt on. And if I drive the speed limit and I see the policeman, guess what happens? I wave to him. You know why? Because it's freedom. When you obey God, there's freedom. Freedom to live the way God intended you to live. You see, I put my head on the bed knowing this. If I die tonight, I'm going to be with Jesus. You know why? Because I got freedom because I came one day by God's grace. He opened my heart, showed me my sin. I pleaded with Him to forgive me of my sins. I repented of my sin, and I believed the gospel, and the Lord saved me. And the Lord's been saving me every day since. Now, would I like to tell you I'm perfect? Yeah, I like to tell you I'm perfect, but I'd be lying. I'm not perfect. But you know what? I'm not what I used to be. And God is changing me every day to look like Him. And there's freedom in that. And the more that I obey God's word, the more freedom I have. Listen, you know, there are people out there going, oh, you Christian, you can't drink. I go, hey, I could drink if I want to drink. But you know what? I don't drink because I don't need it. I don't need no wine. I got Jesus. Amen. You know, let me tell you something. That wine, you may forget what you drank and you may forget what you done. But with Jesus, you'll always remember. And if you obey Him, and love Him. You know what? You go to bed, you didn't act stupid, you didn't say stupid things, and you remember it the next day. Praise the Lord. Freedom, man. Freedom. Freedom to love. Listen, I don't have to worry about loving people. You know what I do in the morning? I get up and I say, okay, Lord, I'm up. I'm ready. Show me somebody to love today, Lord. It's like yesterday. I went in the pizza place. They told me the food would be ready in 20 minutes. I got there. I had to wait another 10 minutes. Looked like they were just getting started on my pizza. And I could tell it was tearing up the manager's nerves. He walked around 2, 3, 4 times. He done talked to that girl 2, 3, 4 times. Done tore his nerves up, man. And he's looking at me, oh, no, I just got my little receipt. I'm just sitting there, you know. And then finally, he gets those pizzas. Boy, they come out and he goes, sir, I am so sorry. I said, hey. No problem, man. Thank you. I appreciate it. I picked up those pizzas and I walked out. You say, Brother Johnny, what's that about? That's freedom, man. Why? Because it was my job to love them. You got a restaurant full of people. They're running all over the place. They don't need my smart aleck comment. They don't need me complaining. I'm a Christian. I got freedom. I can love them. You know, guy cuts me off in the road. I don't have to call him names. I can pray for him and love him. Why? Because I got freedom. Do you have that freedom in Jesus? Are you here this morning? You got an honorable heart because you want to love God and you want to love others. That's what this text is about. It's about changing your life and your community through love, through having an honoring heart by what? Hearing God's word and obeying it. By forgiving, by being faithful, by experiencing that freedom and giving it to others who are in bondage. Friends, let me tell you something. I'd much rather, any day of the week, I'd much rather be taken advantage of and give back joy than to get mad and angry. That comes from the freedom in Christ. Are you experiencing that in your relationship with Jesus this morning? If you're not, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to give you that freedom to enjoy His word. And you learn that by obeying it. Are you obeying the Lord's word? If you're here this morning and your heart, you're just being honest and you say, look, I don't have a clue what Brother Johnny's talking about. I don't have a relationship with the Lord. I have not experienced that freedom. Today, you can experience that freedom today. The way you do that is by humbling yourself and asking the Lord to forgive you of your sins and saving you from your sin. It's by repenting of your sin and believing in Christ alone. Will you do that this morning? And if you're a believer this morning, I pray that God will so move your heart to love and obey His word that the freedom that you experience would just flow to everyone around you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your holy and precious word.